Wel, bore da. Diolch yn fawr iawn am y gwahoddiad I fod efo chi. Thank you so much for the invite and the opportunity to be with you this morning. And it's just before Christmas. Anybody excited? Not very. Are you excited that it's Christmas? There's a nod here. There's a nod. We're a little bit excited. I think we need to warm up a little bit. But do you tend to find that you're just a little bit too busy before Christmas? Who feels like that sometimes? You're just rushing from one thing to another. You've got to get the presents ready. You've got parties. You've got school concerts. You've got lots of different things. And sometimes you kind of find yourself coming towards Christmas and you've got this tired feeling. Anybody experienced that at Christmas before? And sometimes it can just frankly get to the stage where it's just too much. You kind of get to Christmas and we find ourselves so busy that we actually completely miss the point. And even as Christians, we kind of know what the point is, don't we? But don't we find that sometimes we can get wrapped up with all the busyness and the trimmings and forget what the point is? And of course, well, what is the point? That's why we're here this morning. And of course, the name gives us the clue, doesn't it? Merry Christmas, Christmas. That is what it's all about. So we have an opportunity this morning, just for a few minutes together, to stop. And we all to take a deep breath in. Let it out. We have an opportunity together to stop and to remember what it's all about. Or more importantly, who it's all about. And why don't we do that by reading together a few verses that may be familiar to some of us, but talking about who it's about. This child that was promised to us over 800 years, even before Jesus was born. Let's read these verses out together, shall we? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Why don't we have a moment just to be quiet and just to fix on our eyes on this child that came, yes, as a baby, but who is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and who is here this morning with us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have this opportunity together to stop in the middle of our busy lives, to fix our eyes upon you. Lord, you came down to this earth to be Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh and bones, God who dwells with us. And Lord, thank you that even though your body has left this earth, your presence is still with us. And I pray for each one of us this morning, Lord, that we would be more aware of your presence here together as we meet, but in our lives than ever before. But Lord, that's the work of your Holy Spirit. That's why we invite you to come have your way. Will you show us, each one of us, Jesus, afresh and in a real and living way this morning? I ask this in your name. I get clawed at Enodi. Amen. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Why don't we sing of his coming? In O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Well, as we mentioned earlier, as Ray said, for those of you who don't know me, this is where we have the privilege of living, which is Collegabala, which, as I said, is a children and youth centre. We have the opportunity of welcoming kids and young people there for many different events and courses over the course of the year. Now, one of the downsides of working with children and youth is I kind of realise how out of touch I am with what is in, trendy or cool. The fact that I use the word cool shows I'm completely out of touch anyway, because that is not what you would say, should I say, what is hip, edgy or sick. Kind of thing. And I kind of, obviously, I'm out of touch. You know, you just have to, you know, fashion sense, obviously. You just have a look at me. Music tastes. The fact that I even think of a top 40 still tells me that I'm kind of out of touch. But I do have Spotify now, so I am kind of trying to keep up to in touch. But one of the main reasons, of course, is social media, isn't it? Now, I don't know if you have mastered the art of social media. Well, one or two of you have. Okay, I do have a Facebook account, which I don't go on too often. But basically, I've realized when I work with you, Facebook is basically for middle-aged, nosy people, really, kind of thing. It's not something you young people do anymore, so forget Facebook. Instagram, I have an Instagram account as well. You're a bit more edgy if you have Instagram, a bit more with it. But if you want to be really with it, what do you have to have? It has to be Snapchat, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if anybody over the age of 20-odd here has mastered the art of Snapchat here. Nobody cutting edge here. Well, Snapchat is a different world to me. If you see a young person kind of sitting in a corner of a room and kind of pulling some funny faces, you know they are doing something on Snapchat and putting some funny filters on their phone. And you see, the messages fly so quickly and they disappear that, of course, you don't write in sentences anymore. It's all a matter of abbreviations, okay? So I want to see how edgy you are in Cricket Family Church this morning. I want to see how up you are with some of the abbreviations. I've put some easy ones, okay, up for you, okay? To be honest, okay, not bad, okay? By the way, okay? Yeah, you see that one, you see? That is more youth. I had to ask for that one. Not going to lie. Where's that one? Okay. And there's another abbreviation that you sometimes see bounded about. Fear of missing out, or FOMO. Have you ever suffered from FOMO? Anybody? Do you want to know what FOMO is? The definition is an anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may be currently be happening elsewhere. It's often aroused by social media posts. Have you had FOMO? Have you had the feeling that something good is happening and you are missing out on that? Turn to the person next to you if you've ever had a FOMO experience, and you can tell them what your FOMO experience ever has been. Yes, exactly. Okay. We can hear your FOMO experiences later on. Well, I don't want us to have FOMO this Christmas. I don't want us to miss out on Christmas. And not miss out on the turkey and the presents and the celebrating together as a family, which I hope that you won't miss out on. But each year when I come again to Christmas, I am just struck by the enormity, how amazing this event is that we come to celebrate. I've had the privilege of going through the Bible, reading the Gospel of Luke with a young man who's looking into Christianity. And when you talk to him, he has no background at all in faith. And when you say, we are talking about what God, the creator of the universe, decided to come down to our earth in flesh and bones. And why? Because he loved us. Do carod Duw y byd cymaint. For God And I know, most of you know all this, but do we miss out? I think we often miss out on the enormity and the mystery and the love that is shown to us at Christmas. So the next song we're going to sing, maybe slightly newer to some of you, there's an invitation in the chorus. Noel, come and see what God has done. to us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore. No. Bended knee, Savior of humanity. So the invitation to come and see what God had done, this baby born in the stable or the cave or wherever he was born, to see God come down. Well, the invitation first came, didn't it, to lowly shepherds. And it was just a normal night for them, or so they thought, while shepherds watched their flocks by night. Not their frocks, I don't think they were watching their frocks, watching their flocks, get it right. And suddenly, out of nowhere, just making sure you're all awake and with me, if that was a fright, imagine what it was to the shepherd. Out of nowhere, on a dark night, the angel comes and comes with this amazing message. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. That's news, isn't it? This is news. This is great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Amazing news! These ordinary, downtrodden, poor shepherds, and they hear first this amazing news that the Saviour of the whole world, the Messiah, the King that has been promised for generations, has come. It is happening tonight. And did they miss out? They were invited to be a part of it. Did they miss out? Well, no. We know what happened next. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Oh, it's a bit chilly. I think we'll stay here. Can't be bothered tonight." Well, of course they didn't. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem. We're not going to miss out and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Just couldn't believe it. You know, this is major, isn't it? I remember when we used to live in London, in the East End of London. Lived there for 10 years. And when the news that the Olympics was coming just down the road to us where we live, wow, people just couldn't believe it. But what is that compared to God coming down, the Saviour, the biggest event in the history of the world? And the shepherd saying, "It's happening tonight. We get to know about it, and it's happening here." And so they went. They found the baby who was lying in the manger and worshipped him. They had no FOMO. They did not miss out. And that's what we can do, is come and worship him further. It's a carol, it's in the bleak midwinter is the carol. And I always think the first verse is a bit strange, going on about snow and snow. But I want you to particularly look at the last verse that we're going to sing together. Frosty wind. So it wasn't just the shepherds that first Christmas who had the FOMO, who didn't want to miss out on these great events, but also these wise men. They had seen a star, hadn't they? And it was an amazing star, wasn't it? They were enthralled by this star, and from what we gather, these wise men, or magi, that was their job. They were people who studied the stars. They were stargazers. And they knew when they saw this star that this could mean only one thing. And they saw this amazing new star. A king has been born. And they knew he was the king of the Jews, but they also knew that this king that had been promised was the king, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. And when they saw the star, they had a choice, didn't they? They had a choice. They could say, well, go on a long, dangerous journey, because they knew that this king was not going to be born in Babylon or the area where they were. They would have a long, dangerous journey across deserts, facing wild animals and bandits, a journey that would take months and would cost them everything to go and find this king. Or they could have stayed put, couldn't they? They could have seen the star and said, oh yeah, that's nice. Oh yeah, the king's probably been born. But there's a lot of reasons why we need to stay. You know, my family needs me. What about the washing I haven't done? And what about my family who's coming over for Christmas? Well, a lot less risky, a lot less costly, but they would have missed out on the most amazing event that ever happened in history. So which did they choose? I think you know the answer. Let's see. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who is to be born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people, chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, well, where is the Messiah? Was where the Messiah was to be born? In Bethlehem, Judea, they replied, for it is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from him the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So Jesus, the king, is born. And we see in this story of the Magi, of the wise men, we see two contrasting reactions to the king, don't we? Two totally contrasting reactions. And that shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because people react differently to things, don't we? We all react differently to things. You know, Marmites, for instance. Do we have any lovers of Marmites? Ooh, there's quite a crowd in that corner, lovers of Marmite. Any haters of Marmite? Okay, yes. Anybody in between? Well, there are one or two. Just want to be awkward. They can take it or leave it. You know, people react differently. Or say, if I were to offer you for Christmas, a free ticket to go skydiving. Free skydiving. Now, for some of you here, who would that be a fantastic Christmas present? Again, it's the Marmite lovers in the corner there who are liking the skydiving as well. That would fill you with complete horror, and no way are you doing anything. Yep, okay. So it's not just things, is it, either? It's also people as well. Well, maybe we shouldn't. Let's move on quickly. Right. I won't ask how your reaction is there. But look at our story again. Look at the response to Jesus in our reading. First, look at King Herod. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So the wise men turn up, they follow the star, and they think the king must be born in Jerusalem in the palace. They knock on the door. Herod's servants open the door, they get in and they tell Herod, "We have come to look for this new king and to come and worship him." Was Herod impressed? Was Herod glad that a new king had been born? It's not a rhetorical question, you're allowed to answer. No, he wasn't. Notice what it says in verse 3. He was disturbed or troubled. The original word even kind of means agitated. Do you get agitated sometimes? The things make you agitated. Well, Herod was agitated and disturbed. And why? Because another king was born. Somebody else who was trying to take his place, his authority. Now, Herod was not the nicest of chaps. I don't know if he did look like this. This is how he was portrayed in a film. He was power crazed. He was famous for killing his wife because she threatened his power. He also killed 13 of his sons because they also threatened his power. And when he heard that there was another king who was threatening his place on the throne, well, he straight away, didn't he, plotted to kill this king. Because there was nobody else going to be in charge except for him. Quite an insecure chap, wasn't he? But he had this extreme reaction to the news that this king had been born. We'll come back to Herod in a minute. Well, what was the other reaction? Well, of course, it was the wise men. And they had travelled for months, hadn't they, to look for this king. And they get to Jerusalem and find that the king is going to be born in Bethlehem. And it's not very far. Do you know how far it is from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? Yeah, it's about 7 miles, depends which part of it now, but not far at all. And when they start, doesn't it tell us that the star that they had been following for months, it stops. The star they had seen when it rose ahead of them, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were over. Have you done a long journey recently? Are you glad when you get to your destination? Anybody had that experience where you're kind of really glad you've got, your globe-trotting elder here, Steve? I'm sure you're glad when you get back home after your trips to India or America. It's a nice feeling. But it wasn't just a nice feeling that you've got there. This was excitement, wasn't it? They were overjoyed. Do you get happy sometimes? Do you kind of find something that really makes you happy? Well, the wise men were overjoyed. It wasn't just joy. It was overjoyed For those of you who remember the King James translation, do you remember what it is? They rejoice with exceeding great joy. It's an overjoy. And why? Because they have come to the end of their journey. And they are there ready to see the King. And I'm sure there must have been a bit of nervousness, wasn't there, when they were knocking on the door of the house. I don't know, when you go somewhere and you have to knock on a door of somebody new, then you kind of, you're about, ooh, am I in the right place? Am I sure? Do you have that little bit of nervousness? As a GP, you get well over that, and you just walk into people's houses by the end because you get there. But the wise men must have been, what have we done? Is this the biggest mistake we have ever done? We have put all our eggs into this basket. We have left everything. It's cost us everything to come and see this King. And there must have been that bit of nervousness, do you think, in their hearts when they knocked on the door? But what happened? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just one glimpse of the King, and they knew their journey was worth it. And what did they do? They bowed down. They fell on their knees and they worshipped the King. That was their response to this King Jesus. And you've got to remember, these were wise men. These were guys we knew. No, they were probably wealthy. They were influential guys. And they bowed down. They fell on the floor in front of this King. Have you bowed down in front of anybody recently? No, nobody's done that recently. Who would you bow down before? What would make you fall on your knees before and give the whole of your worship to? Well, you only do that if you acknowledge the person you're falling down has all authority, wouldn't you? You realize their worth. You realize how special they are. But also, I think you have to have an element of trust, don't you? Because I think you're making yourself vulnerable when you bow down in front of somebody. For those of you who have had your OBEs or your knighthood, nobody here in cricket had a knighthood, and I've not checked recently. You bow down, don't you? And the Queen with a sword in her hand. You've got to trust her that she's going to be gracious to you with that sword. But the wise man fell down and bowed down before this King. And did Jesus deserve that kind of reaction? You know, what kind of King is he? Well, we had a glimpse of that, didn't we, in the words of the prophet Micah that was quoted to us earlier. In Bethlehem, Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Jesus came as a ruler. He is the ultimate ruler of all things. There's no half measures. If we say we follow Jesus, we say he is the King of Kings. He calls the shot. What would we read from Isaiah at the beginning? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Jesus has all authority. But what kind of ruler? If we look in our world today at the rulers that we see, the Trumps, the Putins, the Xi Pings of this world, are they kind of people you'd want to bow down before and worship? Well, what kind of ruler is our Jesus that we come before this morning? struck me for the first time, really, this year. Look what it says about the ruler at the end of verse 6. "For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Jesus is the shepherd ruler. He calls himself, doesn't he, the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do? "I am the good shepherd," he says in John 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Yes, he is the ultimate ruler. You don't mess with him. You don't have things on your own terms. But he is no power-crazed dictator. He is a shepherd ruler. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, for us. That's the Jesus who came down to earth, who was willing to die in my place, even though he had ultimate power and authority. He gave it all up so that I may know him. I may know what it said in the verse before in John 10, that I may have life, and life in all its fullness. That's what this ruler did. That's what this shepherd ruler. He came to deal with my mess. He came to deal with my sin. He came to deal with my rebellion against him. It cost him everything. And he did it to give me the most amazing gift that I could ever have at Christmas. Of life. Life in all its fullness with him. So how will we respond to King Jesus this Christmas? Are we going to be like Herod? Any Herods in our midst? Ooh, never. Oh, I know, never. We're not like Herod, who was a big nasty man. Okay, you may not see yourself as a power-crazed lunatic, but I think we all have Herod tendencies in our hearts. We all want to stay in control, don't we? We all want to still call the shots. We all want to decide how I live my life, how I use my money, how I use my time, who I am friends. Is it just me? Or do you have those tendencies in your own heart as well? And we may not react with the same anger and being agitated as King Herod did, but I think our reaction sometimes is worse. It's an indifference to Jesus, because we want to stay on the throne. We ignore his claim of kingship on our lives. Are we going to react like Herod and miss out on what Jesus has for us? And this is not just for those of us maybe who've not even in a relationship with Jesus this morning. This is for those of us who have followed him for maybe all our lives, or for many a year, and yet we still want to sit on that throne, don't we? But by sitting on the throne, we are missing out on all that God has for us. Or are we going to be like the wise men? Are we willing to give up that place on the throne? Are we willing to leave the comfort of our own homes to go and search for the King of Kings properly this Christmas? And when we find the Shepherd King, to come down and worship him and to give our gifts. Maybe we don't have gold, frankincense and myrrh, but as that last verse of In the Bleak Midwinter says, what do we offer instead? Do you remember the words? "I can do my part. I give you my heart." Is that what we are going to give him as our gift this Christmas? How are we going to react to him? I just want to show you a short video to challenge us at the end. Who's in charge? Who gets my vote this Christmas? Where do I put my cross? To whom do we bow knee? Not just in name, not just in on the surface, but deep in our hearts, who is in charge? Who do we give our vote to this Christmas, who we say, you are the ruler, you are the king, but you are the shepherd king who gave yourself for me completely. And so the only response I can do is to fall down and give him my all. Shall we pray? Who's in charge? Who gets my eternal vote? Lord, we thank you that we can draw near to the one who is in charge, whose government and peace will know no end, who sits on the throne today, who sits on the throne tomorrow, and who will sit on the throne, ruling everything in truth and justice and love for the whole of eternity. And yet, Lord, you loved us so much that you gave all that up to come to our earth to show us your love, to be the Saviour in the manger, to be the shepherd ruler who is willing to lay down his life for us, your sheep. Oh Lord, forgive us this Christmas. Forgive us. Who are we to say that we still sit on the throne? Forgive my arrogance. Forgive my indifference. Forgive my rebellion. Lord, the only response that you are worthy of is for us to bow down and worship you and give you our all, whatever that means, whatever that costs, because we know in doing that that we get you, and in getting you we get life, and life in all its fullness. So Lord, will you come and be in charge in my life? Will you come and be in charge in our lives this Christmas? The Lord, in a new and a real way, so that it changes my choices, my decisions, my thoughts, where I spend my time, my money, every day. It's all about you, because that's what you deserve and nothing less. Lord, will you just come this Christmas and show us your glory, your love, your compassion. And Lord, to know there is no greater place to be than to be on our knees before that manger, worshipping the King of Kings. Amen. So we're going to sing to end the carol, O Holy Night, bowing on our knees to worship him. Share the grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.